A couple of years ago, there was an exhibition about the moon landings, and by chance, on the day I called in, they had a special guest speaker talking about it. Only Commander David Shepherd, one of just 12 men to have ever walked upon the moon, and the last man to do so in 1972. He stood there nervously jingling coins in his pocket as he told us how he'd driven the moon buggy for several kilometres across the lunar landscape. How do you know which way to go? I asked him. Well, you just look for an interesting landmark and you head off in that direction. But it's a bit hard to judge distances because the light is different. You can easily get confused about how far you've gone as you go over the rises and you lose sight of the lunar lander. And then you feel more alone than ever. Except, of course, the Earth is hanging there above you all the time. So how do you get back again to where you started? Well, there's no map to follow, so you have to follow your own tire tracks back again. And those tracks will stay there for eternity. I shook his hand. A hand that had landed on the moon! Wow! Half the astronauts who led the way to the stars 35 years ago are dead now. Some are boring. Most are resigned to the fact that their defining moment in their lives was their trip to the moon. In the case of Jim Lovell, of course, on Apollo 13, he's more famous for never having got there. And in fact, he's better known than the rest of those who succeeded, apart from Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, the first men on the moon in July 1969. Can you remember he said, "It's one small step for a man, and one giant leap for mankind." There were famous photos at this exhibition. There was the bloke blatting the golf ball half a mile with no effort at all, and the moon buggy being driven as if it was on a go-kart track where it bounced all over the place. But my favourite two photos of all the ones of the moon landing are the one that showed all the debris, you know, the boxes and containers of all our stuff. You can't go anywhere, can we, without carrying stuff, even if you're going for a picnic. You've got to take spare parts, a camera or tools for just in case. I like the fact that on the surface of the moon there's a pile of Earth rubbish. It's rather appealing, isn't it? And the other photo was of a little girl, an astronaut's daughter, a Polaroid snap in fact, and he'd placed it on the surface of the moon and then photographed it. Caption was, "Here's my daughter on the moon." Nice idea, and very rare, because nobody goes to the moon anymore. It's as if it's been a purely been-there-done-that sort of experience. And the astronauts who went there were in the main rather dull, unimaginative men. They failed to thrill us with the moon's grandeur. All they did was stand there and jingle coins in their pockets. But it won't always be like this. If there's a giant leap for mankind, it has to be reality TV. Reality telly these days loves putting presenters and performers at risk, whether it's jumping out of a plane on I'm a Celebrity, or trying to break the world speed record, or engaging with dangerous wild animals. In years to come, I reckon reality TV may well take us to the moon. We'll see a TV channel take a group of explorers on an expedition from pole to pole, or across the Sea of Tranquility. Now, with no locals to meet, we'll need poets and artists to capture the splendour of the planet. And of course you'll need some conflict. There'll be the lazy one, the flirt, the Mr. Know-it-all. They'll carry their supplies, water, food and above all oxygen. And then there'll be a film crew with them to follow their every step. They'll have a moon GPS and they'll be in contact with friends and family on Earth. They'll do a little video diary and the whole world will follow their trip on the internet. And from it may well come a new lightweight weatherproof fabric that will let the wearer breathe where there's no air. It'll be magical at first, until we get bored with them. And then perhaps an oxygen cylinder will explode, and we'll be faced with the next most famous moon man after Neil Armstrong. The first person to die on the moon. It's a gloomy thought, isn't it? They'll perish not in the name of science and the furthering of man's understanding of the solar system, but as an entertainment strand dressed up as a challenge. It's not enough these days to have the TV reporter follow someone else's story. They have to risk their own lives themselves. Space tourism is not a story without danger and a challenge. But when they do it, and come back safe again, we'll rush to shake their hand and listen to them jingle coins in their pocket while they give us their story on the celebrity circuit. Show us the photo of your family on the moon again, will you?